you, guys. Thank you, Bruce. All of you guys from Mid-American. Coming up on stage here is Bob, and I'm Jake. This is Josh. We're three of your coaches here at Maywood. We call our top four leaders coaches because we feel like our role is to get you guys out onto the field, get you guys doing ministry here in our community. So we're going to get ready to talk to you guys here for a few minutes. But first, let me start us with prayer. So if you guys can bow your heads. God, I thank you that we get to worship you in your house. God, it's good to come together to make a joyful noise for you. God, we want to, and this time we want you to stay here and stay with us and to teach us. I pray you would come and speak through Bob and myself and Josh. And most of all, I pray you would speak into each heart that's here. Help us to be open to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You all look awfully good today. Bruce, thank you and you guys again for sharing with us. Amen. Amen. We have been studying a theme of grace, God's grace in our lives to us personally, and then God's grace that allows us to live out life with other people. And so we're going to talk about the story of Moses today. And this is a picture of Moses, about as young as you can get. And this is the idealized version of Moses' life. I really would like to have found a higher resolution picture that didn't look that sweet, but that's the way it is. Beautiful lady picking up a cute little kid with a little girl in the scene. I mean, that can't be any better than that, right? Truth is, that wasn't what was happening. Truth is this lady, pretty lady's dad, ordered the death of all of the firstborn children of the Hebrews throughout the land of Egypt. How many thousands upon thousands of kids and parents and families were grieved and bereaved because of that particular order by her dad? The grace of God was as God used those negative, horrible circumstances to pull a little baby out of a basket and to put him in the life of the Egyptian government. The grace of God was as he didn't stay there. And so I'll give you another picture here. And this is a picture of a young Moses. Who knows, he might be anywhere from 18 to 25 years old. So you think about it, from birth until almost adulthood, into adulthood, he grew. He wore the clothing of the Egyptians. He had the hairstyle of the Egyptians. He had the lifestyle of the Egyptians. But inside his heart, he'd look out the windows of the Egyptian palace and he would see his Hebrew brothers and sisters being tormented and abused and injured and hurt and killed, etc., etc., by the Egyptians. And so it finally boiled over one day and he saw an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew man and he went out and killed the Egyptian. And the reason why he's in motion here behind me is because he's running from the law. If they'd had those old West wanted posters, he would have had one of those with his name on all the post office walls and the trees and everything else throughout the area. As we tell the story of Moses, we don't want to just tell a history lesson about a guy. It's a fascinating story, and we'll never cover the whole story today, but we want to cover the story of how it relates to us. So the author of Hebrews, when he thought about Moses, he learned some things about Moses that were appropriate for his people. They're also appropriate for our people. So let's take a look at them. You have in Hebrews chapter 11, we read, by faith Moses, when he'd grown up, refused. That's a big word. He refused. And we're going to talk about some things we need to refuse. All right? He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose. So he refused some things. He chose some other things. And there's some things we need to refuse. There's some things we need to choose. All right? So he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Jake, why don't you and Josh talk some about that?
Yeah, something I always appreciate about the Bible is that it shoots straight with us. It doesn't try to avoid issues. It doesn't try to sugarcoat things. And here, it comes right out with it, the fleeting pleasures of sin. It says that sin has some fun to it, that to do the wrong thing there's a fun aspect or fun moment involved in that. That's why it's tempting to us. That's why we struggle with it. Josh and I were talking this week, and you talked to me about a time when you had the grace to see that, to see the fleeting nature of sin. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think that there was a time in my life where God's grace allowed me to see through the sin, allowed me to see on to the next couple days. And back to what he was saying is, let's not fool ourselves. Sin is fun for a second. That's why we do it. That's why the world does it. It's fun for a second. And I was caught up in that life, and I couldn't see through it. I couldn't see two days down the road when I felt like blowing my brains out of my head because of what I'd done. And there was a moment where the Holy Spirit allowed me to see, yeah, you're going to have some fun for 2-3 days. And then you're going to face the consequences for your actions. And we talk a lot about this in Sunday school, in Bible study, and we talk a lot about it in our Wednesday night groups. And just from looking at it, the way that I'm looking at it, the people that are around me are the one, and the ones that have made it are the ones that God's grace has done the same thing to, is you've chose to say no. Like, I can see through this. It's going to be fun for a second, but it's not going to be fun next week when I have to answer for it. Y'all with me on that?
Yeah, that idea of just like Moses choosing to say yes to God, choosing to say I'm going to do it God's way. When Josh described his story to me earlier this week, I had this picture of a fish. But if a fish could see the hook and a fish could see the frying pan, then the worm doesn't look so attractive to that fish anymore. But for us, if we could see past that fun thing that's going to last for 15 minutes or is going to last for an hour, or is just going to, we feel so angry, we're just going to go ahead and do it.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you pray this prayer for yourself. As I pray this prayer for myself often, and I pray it for my guys often, and it's just a simple prayer. God, let me see through this. Show me what this really is. Because we've been deceived by sin our whole lives. And I think that when you start to pray that for yourself and you start to pray that for your friends, that God will honor that prayer and he will allow you to start to see through it. Then you got to choose.
Yeah, the choice is yours. But yeah, like Josh said, pray for that vision. Pray to be able to see, where is this leading me?
Amen. I'd like to just hammer home refuse and choose. That's a really good one.
There's some,
that wouldn't be a bad t-shirt. Refuse and choose. There's some things everybody in this building needs to refuse. And there's some things we need to choose. And they're personal for each one of us, okay? But I will guarantee you some of the choosing will be choosing to live your life obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, choosing to stay in contact with God, choosing to walk where he tells you to go. So let's see what the story of grace is. And before I flip the picture, I want to just hammer home. This is God's grace in action. God's grace is, we don't deserve his love, but he gives it to us anyway. Okay, that's God's grace. And God's grace is him working in us, but sometimes his grace is not easy. So you remember that last picture of Moses, and he was young and he was strong. Check this Moses out. That guy looks older than me. And I'm not so sure he is, but that's an old dude in the picture there. Moses has spent a lot of time. Here's what he did. He had to run. And when he ran to a neighboring country, and he found himself herding sheep on the backside of Mount Horeb. And so every day, get up with those sheep and watch him. He was destined for a whole lot more than that, but his whole life, day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year, was to do what? Herd sheep. Okay? And one day, the time was right, and God came and met him. And what we're seeing here is not a little bonfire where he's toasting marshmallows, but what we see here is that God has come to him, and God has lit up a bush. but the bush is not burning out, but the bush continues. And God speaks to Moses. He has a meeting with God right there in front of that bush. And God tells him that this is not only for him, but God intends to set an entire nation of people free. Well over 1 million people God has chosen to set free. And these guys are going to apply this, but I can't stop but applying a bit of it. You look at your own life. Your life with God is not just for you. Your life with God is for the people that God wants to set free through you. And so I heard a prayer a long time ago, and we actually have a son named John, but there was a prayer which says, God, I pray for me, my wife, our son John, his wife, us four and no more. And there's some of us who circle our lives too small, and we don't know where God is calling us beside ourselves. So God met Moses. He met Moses in a time of grace, and God took Moses right back in front of the ruler of Egypt. Now, this wasn't his stepfather, the mother who had raised him, the daughter of the Pharaoh. He had died, but this is the man who followed him. And so he is in front of the most powerful man in the world telling him, let my people go. What an act of courage. It is a huge act of courage unless you have been in front of God before and God told you to tell him to let my people go. And then I'm going to show you another slide here just to kind of capsulize really quickly. This is a plague of locusts. And the locusts descended upon Egypt and ate everything in their path. And that was one of 10 separate things that God did to encourage Pharaoh to say, yes, your people can go, all right? And so that's a really short story, but you kind of get the idea of it. I want you to think about one thing. If you read this in the Bible, you maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, you can read the whole account of what I've just told you. But it took years to walk through. And Moses was right smack dab in the middle. God had revealed himself, but he had to go stand in front of Pharaoh numerous times. And there was one time Pharaoh said, if I ever see you again, you're dead. Isn't that a nice thing? Most powerful man in the world saying, if I ever see you again, you're dead. He could do it, except Moses had been talking to the most powerful being of all, God, the creator of all. Okay, so, all right. Put that in your life. Not only did he have to deal with Pharaoh, he had to deal with a whole bunch of complaining, murmuring Hebrews. They did not like what was going through, and it happened over a period of time. So that's the story. Dig into it for yourself, but let's let the author of Hebrews apply it for us. So here's what he has to say. He regarded disgrace. That's a huge word. I don't know if anybody likes to be disgraced. Nobody likes to be the outsider. Nobody likes to be the one they complain about. Nobody likes to be the one with a target on their back. But he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value. You got refuse and choose. Now you've got disgrace and greater value, okay? Rather than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward.
So, again, the Bible's shooting straight with us. If we follow Jesus, there's going to be moments in our life where we hit disgrace, where this group of friends that we want to be a part of, they're all circled up doing something and looking over their shoulder saying, you can't be a part of this. Or people are making fun of us or commenting badly about us or just looking down on us and thinking we're dumb. Of course you would answer that way because you're a Christian or something like that. When we were reading this passage this week, I thought right away of an experience I had down in Cuernavaca, Mexico, down in southern Mexico. I was living in northern Mexico for a couple of years doing mission work, and the group I was working with sent me down to Cuernavaca to this university to study Spanish. And so I was there for several months, and this is me. This is back in 2008. The Royals were not as good in 2008, but I was still a fan. So that's me in the top left without a beard at the time. And so I was down in Mexico, down in Cuernavaca, and one day I was having a conversation with a couple of girls that I barely knew, but they had approached me. They were being very, very flirty and forward with me, and they wanted me to go on this like booze cruise at this lake that weekend with them. And I was backpedaling in the conversation, and they were pretty stunned by that because they were pretty girls, and they were trying to figure out why I wasn't eager to go with them. And Finally, they asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I don't know why that had popped into their mind, but I said, "Yes." And as soon as one of them said that to me, the other one got this expression on her face like, and she said, "Are you a virgin?" And they asked me that, and I'd been a Christian my whole life. To pause for a second, I've been a Christian my whole life. The Bible is really clear with us that sex is a gift from God. It's a wonderful thing, but it's got a proper place, and that's in marriage. And so I'm a regular American boy, you know, growing up. Like, that wasn't the easiest command for me to swallow. But I knew God, and I've definitely not been perfect, haven't always done the right thing, but in that area, I'd followed God's way. And so when they asked me that, I said, yeah. And there's a lot of people around. We were outside in this courtyard area. There's a bunch of people passing. And these girls who had just been graphically flirting with me literally both started laughing loudly in my face. And other people are looking at, like, what's going on? And I'll be honest with you, I think if I had just incredible super faith, you know, I would have just felt like that was no big deal. But for me, I went through high school, I went through college, and I had this nagging doubt of, like, am I missing out? Am I an idiot for choosing to live this way? And so when they laugh in my face, it wasn't a fun moment for me. It was a disgraceful moment. But it didn't make me want to go on the booze cruise, you know, with these two girls. And, you know, I'd love to tell you, oh, man, I met Chrissy the next day and we got married the next week or something, you know. But that's not what happened either. You know, Chrissy and I didn't start dating or anything for a few years after that. There were some really lonely times in there. You know, it didn't instantly work out. But I knew God and I trusted God. So even though I didn't understand it, I was willing to face that disgrace in that moment. And this verse that we just read, it said that Moses faced disgrace because he was looking ahead to his reward with Christ. Tell us a little bit about that. What's this reward that he's looking ahead to, Josh?
Yeah, I think it's funny to me, but I have this thought, and it's like I'm thinking about my life and, like, the way that I used to live, and I never had anybody, like, when you were approached to do something, they're like, "Hey, you want to go get high?" And I've never had anybody go, "Oh, no, that's not going to be good for my eternity." You know? It just never happened, you know? Like, I mean, in my before I met Jesus, I hardly ever had a thought about eternity, period, at all, in the story, ever. I didn't even have the concept that my decisions that I'm making today are setting me up for eternity, you know? And I think that our society, maybe my generation, I think that we've kind of lost that concept of eternity, and it's not even in our minds, and it's shocking, and it's disturbing that, and I mean, I think us as Christians may be guilty of it also. I mean, I'm asking myself now, do you think of eternity on a daily basis? And you should, oh man, we should. Because we're going to be there for a long time. Yeah, that was funny. Laugh.
You know, I remember, Josh, you and I were driving down North Oak Traffic Way when you still lived up north the river, and you had freshly met the Lord, and you asked me back to your past, and you said, "Do you think I would have gone to heaven if I died back then?" And that was a real tough question. He's my friend, and I don't like giving friends bad news, but I remember saying, "I don't think he would have made it." And that was a moment that was, I will remember, and I think you remember also, but it's about eternity. And this is the tough, tough stuff of life. Not everybody's going to make it. If you, can I just preach for a second, guys? Thank you, you're going to let me anyway.
Sure, yeah.
I was sitting on the seawall in New Orleans back in the days of hippies. Y'all may remember them. And I was out there in a pair of sandals reading my Greek New Testament, and this guy walked by, and he was obviously a hippie. We had the second amount of hippies in the whole country besides San Francisco. He walks up to me, and he sees me reading. "So what you reading?" "I'm reading Greek New Testament." "Oh, wow. You a preacher or something?" "Yeah." "Well, so what do you talk to a preacher about when you're a hippie?" "What do you think about hell?" You know, that's what, you know, sure. And I knew if I gave him the straight Baptist answer, he'd run away and hide. And so here's what I said to him. I said, here's the way God works. If you do not want to live your life with God on this earth, God is not going to force you to live with him in heaven. And he went away thinking, all right. Now, Josh, I'm sorry I interrupted you here, but anyway.
And I'm thinking, I'm kind of putting it on my generation here, because I'm thinking, like, hey, my grandma used to, I remember she spoke to me about eternity on several occasions, more than several occasions. This, I remember the specific times of where we were at and what she was doing. And I'm like, I think like those people, like the older people, they did have this sense of eternity in their hearts and in their heads. And they thought about it on a regular basis. And
how do you think that affected them? Like how, what kind of lady was your grandma?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. And here's where we're going with it is, since my grandma did have eternity on her mind, in her heart, and spoke of it on occasion, it changed the way that she lived. Because when eternity's in your head and in your heart and in your mouth, it's going to change the things you do. It's going to change how you treat people. It's going to change the decisions that you make are going to be different, because it's going to be based on eternity and not here and now. And I think that we get caught up in, like, today and tomorrow. And, like, is this going to make me feel good today? And it's kind of a scary thought. Are my because your decisions today and tomorrow are going to affect your eternity, whether you like it or not.
Amen. So let's get another picture here. There you are. That's a million people leaving town. Okay? I left a little town once, and the editor of the newspaper said, Bob, we ought to hang a sign on this place. Last one out of town. Turn out the lights. And there's a million people leaving Egypt. Now, they didn't, y'all notice that's an interesting deal, because there's water on either side of them, and that's not a man-made bridge. That's a God-made bridge. They were at the edge of the sea, the Red Sea. And if you can imagine Pharaoh and all his troops, they're coming to wipe them out. And God says, Moses, take the staff. The long story about the staff. Put your staff in the water. The waters roll back. They came across on dry ground. 1 million people. That is just astronomical. Just the logistics, how you do it. Only God can do it. Now, we're not telling that story for way back then. We've got to tell this story for right now. Why in the world are you sitting in Maywood Baptist Church today? You're here because God has something for you, all right? No doubt about it. There's something for you, and he wants your life to be different. But there are multiple someones who aren't in anybody's church today, and God has made you who you are to reach them. And so there are people that we are here called to lead out of slavery into the life that God has for them. So let's hear what the author of Hebrews has to say about this. He says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who's invisible.
That word persevering right there gets at this idea of holding up under a load or remaining under a big weight. Josh, has there ever been a time when you've had to pull through something that was hard, stay somewhere that was hard to stay?
Boy, I sure do. I'll tell you guys a story. Okay, when I grew up, my brother and I, what we did is we had tattoo shops. That's what we did. That was what we did for money. That was our employment. And we built tattoo shops, and that was our job. And I think it was in 2009, Bob? In 2009, all of a sudden, one day, I had this thought, and it was like, you need to leave. You should leave the tattoo shop and move to Independence, where you don't know anybody. And where you don't have a job. God, quit playing games with me. You know, that's enough of that. And so I really felt this. And it, as weird as it was, so I did it. My wife and I, we packed up camp, moved across the city over here to Independence. And I didn't have a job, and I didn't know anybody. And but the thing about God is he never, like, he doesn't give you the spoiler alert. He isn't like, oh, by the way, in the end, you're going to be pastor of the church you love. You're going to have a TV show, and you're going to have all this stuff. And he doesn't do that to you. Yeah. He didn't do it to Moses. He didn't do it to me either. He's just like, you just do what I'm telling you to do, you know? And don't get me wrong. I love tattoos, and I still get tattooed. And anything about the tattoos is just that God was directing me in my life. And I would encourage you guys to do this, to spend time with God on a daily basis. Get in a quiet place and listen to him, because he wants to talk to you. And he'll talk to you every chance he gets. Ask yourself now, are you spending time with him daily to hear from him? Because when I started spending time daily and hearing from God, my whole life changed. Anyway, so I moved to Independence, and I found this job working for my neighbor that owns this painting company. And it dawned on me, it was a weekday, and I was up on an extension ladder on the second story with a half a gallon of paint on my face and the other half on my arms. It was only about 105 degrees, and there wasn't a shade tree in sight. And I thought to myself, I walked away from that for this. Wow, what a deal. And again, God doesn't tell you the end. He just tells you what to do next. And the word perseverance is, that's what it means. Jake said what it meant. It means to remain under the load, to hold something up for an extended period of time and not give up. Because why? Because he saw him who was invisible. This is the most important part, is he saw him who was invisible. That he heard from God and got direction from God and did what God said to do.
There you go. It's easy to hear about Josh on the paint, you know, on the top rung of the ladder. It's easy to hear about Moses herding sheep. It's like, oh yeah, it's good that they did that. It's a whole other thing to go through weeks and weeks of bills coming in and not be making much money, sweat running down your face while you're working hard in the sun. Be like Moses chasing after sheep in the dusty, dirty area when you could have been just kicking your feet back and having whatever you wanted brought to you. Going through years, something that's hard, that's not comfortable, that's what perseverance is about. And when you walk with God, there's going to be times where he tells you something to do, and it's going to take a while to get to the other side of where you're headed. And in our culture, we really struggle with that. We can hear stories about somebody else persevering. We can watch a movie about Rocky, and it's all in a montage, and we're like, yep, that's great. But if it lasts more than 2 or 3 minutes, we don't really want to be uncomfortable. But you don't get to have a life like Moses had if you can't persevere. Moses didn't just white-knuckle it through his whole life, though. He made it because he saw God. He saw him who's invisible, like Josh was talking about. That's the secret. The secret is taking some time in your day and actually talking with God, actually listening to God. Moses saw God. That's why he was able to persevere. So when we were talking about this sermon, we got to this point, and it was kind of going to be our ending. Josh and I were happy with it. But then Bob really blew our minds with this final thought. So we're going to add, this is an extended edition of the sermon for you guys. So.
Be a quick extended edition. Yeah. I'm looking at you all. One of the nice things about having these guys preach, there's a lot of nice things about us three preaching together. One of the nice things is watching you. Can you believe in yourself that God in you can use you to help people get free? It's not just the job of some guys who have a microphone and sit on a platform on a Sunday morning, but it's a job of the people of God who do that. Would you ask God today, God, all right, you got me free. God, who do you want me to help get free? Would you do that? All right. And how do you do that? You stay with him who's invisible. But one of the zingers we had at the moment was that first beat, by faith, he left Egypt. There is some refusing we need to do and some choosing we need to do. There is some leaving we need to do so we can take up some things we ought to take up in the first place. And so I'm going to ask you deep in your heart today, say, God, what do I need to leave? What do I need to pick up? God, what do I need to refuse? What do I need to choose? This is about eternity for you. It's about eternity for other people. It's the grace of God. It's marvelous. He's there to do that with you. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and stand? Our worship team is going to come and lead us. There'll be folks who'd love to pray with you. Jake, why don't you just go ahead and I'll pray. Go ahead.
God, I thank you for this morning, God. I pray that we won't stay in the land, that we won't stay in Egypt, God, but that we'll come out and be free with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.